Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm editorial director Stephanie Sloan, here with senior editor Mara Levinsky.
Hello.
So, Mara, on today's show, we'll be talking to Days of Our Lives' Victoria Konefal and Robert Scott Wilson, who play Days' Sierra and Ben, otherwise known as Sin. So this pairing has really sparked something with the audience, which is interesting considering Ben is a serial killer and Sierra is a rape survivor who is the daughter of one of the show's most beloved super couples, Beau and Hope. Despite that, it seems many of the fans really want to see them together. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's a paradigm there that is very classic soap, you know, the bad boy being redeemed by the love of a good woman. I think soaps are capable of telling great redemption stories, and audiences love great redemption stories. When it comes to Ben and Sierra, I certainly see the response, and I have friends who haven't, you know, they haven't been this excited about a new pairing for a really long time. But, you know, maybe this is just sort of the soap critic in me who tries to look at things academically. You know, I also understand why the autobiography of each of the two characters make it a non-starter in the eyes of some viewers who do find it off-putting, if not offensive, that Ben's crimes can be sort of swept under the rug, in a manner of speaking, to be paired with a woman who, as you noted, is a survivor of a brutal rape.
Well, we did ask the audience to give some questions. And some of them, you know, were really excited about this pairing. And the other ones were like, are you kidding me? How are we even talking about this? You know, he's a serial killer. I mean, this man killed four people. And it was only when the show wanted to resurrect Will did they make it three. But it's still three women. And he tortured Abigail, you know, setting fire to the bed when she was in it. And that's kind of a hard pill for the audience to swallow, or some of the audience. I have to admit, even though they're very charismatic together and I find them charming and they're dynamic, I have a hard time with it too. I mean, it's hard for me to get past Ben's past and see him right now as a character to root for.
You know, and I think that's essentially what it's going to come down to for Days of Our Lives viewers. Either you're willing to look past it or you're not. You know, it's the debate that has been going on for years on the General Hospital side with the character of Franco and the Franco and Liz pairing. You know, I don't know how many people who were opposed to it on moral grounds from the get-go have been converted to the other side, no matter how many, you know, redemption stories the show crafts for Franco. And I don't know that the people who are rooting for Ben and Sierra will suddenly change their minds about it and think, you know what, no, they shouldn't be telling this story. But I'm curious, have you ever found yourself rooting for a character who was super dastardly prior to some sort of redemption arc?
I mean, it's hard. I guess maybe if you want to say Days is EJ, since I did like his subsequent pairings with Sammy and Nicole. But, you know, he was responsible for a string of crimes. He shot John in the head. He raped Sammy. I mean, this is not a character that I even feel like I should be saying that about. But they always played EJ with shades of gray. And he was a questionably moral character, like even throughout his run. Mm-hmm. And I still think it's a different case than Ben, who I feel they made a serial killer and they like never really intended to bring him back. But this regime clearly saw something in him when he returned last year during Will's resurrection story, because he really showed a different side of him. And Robert Scott Wilson did such a great job in those scenes where Ben came back and they were in the police station. And I think it sparked something in this writing regime. Yeah. And they're like, wait, let's see if we can turn this situation around. And clearly for some, it has been very successful. What about you?
Well, you know, I think you bring up a really interesting point, because there are some characters who are clearly intended to be short-term, who I think the writers are more willing to, like, almost put, like, a neon sign over their heads by virtue of the actions that they script for them that say, like, you should hate this person, they're a villain, you know? Todd Manning on One Life to Live is a great example of that. He led the gang rape of Marty Saybrook. He attacked Luna. He attacked Nora. You know, he was not supposed to last. But when the show decided to keep him, they actually scripted a protracted and very careful redemption arc for the character. And we were never, you know, not supposed to think that he was guilty of doing what he had done, but he did show, I think, genuine remorse, which I think helps. And I think it helps, you know, get the sympathy of the audience back on the character's side. By contrast, I think about the character of Franco on GH, who was brought in as sort of a stunt casting, played by James Franco. He did despicable things to really beloved characters. And, you know, was sort of intended to just die a horrible death and never be seen again. So a few years later, when he was recast and the character returned from the dead and the audience was asked to accept, oh, you know, everything he did was because he had a brain tumor and the brain tumor is gone. So, you know, reset. He's not really to blame. I think we saw a fair amount of resentment from the audience that they were asked to kind of forgive all the terrible things that he had done. And that debate among fans continues to rage on 5 years later now.
Well, I would think because the role had been recast with Roger Howarth, who you mentioned had already done this with Todd, that there was maybe some goodwill for the actor that ultimately helped the character there. I mean, if it had been James Franco and James Franco returned, I don't know that we would be seeing the same reaction. And I think there are probably people who accept Franco because it's a different actor in the role. And in a way, you can forget about what happened with the other actor. And it's also one that they cared about from other soaps.
Yeah, but on, you know, on the flip side, I think there are people who hated Franco then and will always hate Franco. You know, I think I recall interviewing Ron Carlovati, who is now writing the Ben and Sierra story on Days of Our Lives, who was the head writer of General Hospital at the time that the character of Franco was brought back. And he actually said, you know, we thought it would be really intriguing to make Roger Howarth Franco because he has played this character before, who sort of toes that line between, I don't want to say good and evil, but certainly that the gray area that Todd lived in. But I remember him telling me, you know, the audience doesn't have to like that we gave him a brain tumor, but that's the story that we're telling. So whether you want to accept it or not, that's what we're running with. I think there was pushback from fans. I just don't know that that is ever going to be resolved. You know, I just don't see people who, you know, crossed their arms and were against that character having a second life one day changing their minds.
Well, I mean, then you think about some classic soap villains like Roger Thorpe on Guiding Light. And looking back, I forgave a lot of his misdeeds because Michael Zaslow was so dynamic in that role and he was played as a romantic lead. I mean, and then you have someone like Stefano D'Amara on Days who was not, but his through line was always that he cared about his family and that's sort of what gave him a heart.
You know, one of the reasons that I think Roger Thorpe on Guiding Light was such a successful character and why I thought his relationship with Holly was so intriguing, despite the fact that he had raped her during their marriage, is that the show did not sweep that fact under the rug. And it was always a through line. It was always present between them. And I think the show made good use of that history as opposed to ignoring it.
Well, I think we're seeing that now with this Days story with Hope. I mean, she's really leading the charge to find something against Ben and keep him away from her daughter. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to have that character because that's also the voice of a lot of the audience of, hey, wait a minute, this guy's a killer. Why are you okay with being in the same room with him? And I'm quite sure that when Eve sees Ben again, she's going to have something to say too.
Well, listen, you certainly can't say that the scenario lacks for drama.
Absolutely. Well, let's get Rob and Victoria on the phone and see what they have to say. Hey, Rob. Hey, Victoria.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hey, guys. You're here with Stephanie and Mara Levinsky.
Hi.
Hi.
So, first of all, you are both on your summer break right now, so thanks so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, no problem.
How are you spending your time off?
Right now, I actually lost track of time. I was out in the backyard boxing for a little bit.
Okay, so we've interrupted your workout.
Back inside. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, no,
good work.
No interruption. Yeah, thanks.
So, Rob, how are you spending your time off?
I'm spending my time by relaxing. I stayed in Los Angeles. I was about to go back east, but I decided to wait until the August break to do that. So I'm just chilling and trying to stay active. I just got back from the gym myself, getting a little workout in. I got to keep up with Victoria, so I had to keep up my ones and twos. Yeah, it's been a good break. I'm enjoying my time off.
Very good. Well, Mara and I were just discussing the controversial pairing of your two characters. It seems they've really struck a chord with the audience. First of all, were you surprised by the reaction to Ben and Sierra?
I was. I wasn't expecting as big of an uproar as we got. I knew that the fans would like it because it's soapy drama and it's dangerous, but I had no idea that Sin would take off this much.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, it's just crazy. And I've been trying to be as active as I possibly can, like, you know, writing back to some of the fans and just knowing that I see their reaction. And, you know, in the past, I never really did that. And I was like, you know what, this time around, especially the way this caught fire, I want to be more active with the fans. And I want to, you know, kind of just see that I notice them noticing us. And I appreciate that. It's crazy. It was wildfire. Like, I didn't expect that at all. But we had such a great response, like as we were filming it. People who kind of, you know, they see the show being filmed every day. They watch 100 pages of soap work every single day. And to see some of the, like, the staff and the crew commentate on it, it was just really powerful. It was really a breath of fresh air. So just grateful.
I'm interested to know, for each of you, before you started actually working together, but you got the scripts or you knew that you would be working together and this pairing was a possibility, what were your reactions as the portrayers?
Well, initially I wasn't aware of Ben's history. So once I learned about it, I got really excited because it's a really fun storyline to be a part of. And it's a great relationship to be portraying. It's the story of the good girl turns the bad guy into the knight in shining armor. And I think it's really well written. Ron did a great job strategically writing in the cabin scene and the fire. And he did a great job in tying it back to how it relates to Abigail. And it's just, I'm really proud of what Ron has written for us.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I mean, it was kind of seamless, though. Like, the whole process of it didn't really hit me as soon as I picked up the scripts. I was just reading into it, and I was like, oh, interesting. Like, this is very unexpected, but I'm sure they have an idea in the back of their head. If he had plotted it to do all this, then, man, even more bravo to that guy and the whole crew, you know, producers and writers, because that's, this thing, like, took off. Like, I've been doing this back and forth for a few years, and, like, I've just never been a part or seen anything like that. You know, me and Manzi had a pretty good little run that kind of caught a little bit of fire as well, but not like this. This was pretty impressive. So they did a really nice job of piecing it all together. And it's, you know, we're watching it unfold too. You know, every time we get new scripts, I'm sure V can agree. Like, every time I read it, I'm like, what's happening? You know?
Yeah.
We're along for the ride too. You know, it's great.
And then when they don't give us scripts, I get filled with anxiety because I'm just itching to know what happened.
I get filled with anxiety.
Now, Rob, you talked about coming back and forth. So back when your character was strangling people with ties, could you ever have imagined you'd be back?
Damn, man. Yeah, man, you just hit it on the head, huh?
That's right. Just gonna say it like it is.
Strangling people with ties.
And
what was the question?
Could you ever have imagined that you'd be back and on what looks like the road to redemption?
Well, I mean, I know between the producers reaching out and Ken, and it was very complimentary, and I was really grateful because what was seemingly a door closing on the story of Ben Weston, you know, we kicked a hole through the wall and, like, kept them alive. And I just thank them because I know they were really complimentary of the work. And I think that's kind of what changed it. But to think of him coming back and, you know, a shot at kind of having, like, this whole romantic lead type thing was definitely not what I thought. I thought they'd have me come back, cause up a stir, you know, kind of do what Ben first got light signed on him doing, which was all that bad stuff. But you don't have to have these booming, loud, angry scenes to have an impact and to be, you know, intriguing, you know. So the quieter, softer scenes and really with no words at all is the best kind of acting, I believe. And if they give us the opportunity to do that, then I'm just grateful, whether he's on redemption or whatever happens to him. It's fulfilling to play stuff like that rather than just come in and do this mundane storyline. You know, they're giving us the ball and I appreciate it.
So the show is shot very far in advance. So the stuff that we've seen between you on air, you did months ago, and you've been working together 4 months at this point. When looking back on, you know, the early days of what the audience has embraced as Sin, did you guys feel like it was working? Did you have a sense that the two of you together was, you know, had the kind of potential that the writers seemed to have anticipated?
Well, I mean, go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, right off the rip, it was one of those things where, like, we kind of grabbed it and just went into it, and it just felt comfortable. I think we kind of just got each other, and you know, Victoria came correct, you know, and I tried to hold up my end of the bargain as well, and it kind of balanced right away. But I didn't think it was going to be anything like that. I knew we were doing our work, you know. I know if we treat our work with the care and the respect and the time that it needs, which you don't always get in this genre, I mean, it's bound to be good, you know. But it definitely took off in more than I expected. But, like, what it came down to for us, it kind of shined the light on it was people like Fran, one of our stage managers that's been there forever, and people like this guy, like one of our props guy who watches every scene and is part of everything, and our producers, they come up to us and like, I just saw their reaction and them saying they were rooting for us. And I remember me and Victoria looking at each other like, damn, like this is like, what's happening? Like we're here working, we're doing our thing, enjoying the moment. But people that don't necessarily comment on every scene were commenting on our work. And it was just, I don't know, I think that might have been the first inclination. What do you think, V?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started working with Rob, I had no idea that our storyline was going to have that kind of impact. And truthfully, I don't think that the writers knew where Sierra and Ben were going until they saw us acting together. I remember the first day on set, I got really excited working with Rob because I noticed that he's the kind of actor that really dives into his work. And that's something that I grew up around, you know, doing theater in New York for so long. And when you start doing TV and film, I feel like sometimes the key elements of really connecting to your work can get lost in the big machine of things, you know, in the big Hollywood cog. Sometimes mm-hmm. you get disconnected from your work.
Absolutely.
And with Rob, I felt like I'm always so there and so connected when we're acting. And I feel like that definitely has an influence in where the storyline is going to go and where Rob went with developing our characters.
Do you feel like it was easy for you to find a groove in working together, or how did you work on developing
definitely.
A bond?
Yeah,
I mean, he made it very easy for Sierra's character to forgive him because Rob did a great job with bringing Ben's humanity back. And that was the most important part of Ben returning to Salem, is him genuinely convincing someone that he is a reformed man. And I think that was really important in developing the relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. Like, I got nothing but love for the girl. I mean, she, like I said, she came correct. So it's like one of those things where if it didn't come across whatever I was doing in my head and my thoughts, if it didn't come across off of her, then it wouldn't have worked for me, you know? So like, if I'm seeing her going through something or I'm seeing her cry, I'm done. You know, I'm toast. Ben's in it too, you know? So, I mean, it's a hard thing. This guy did so many bad things, and it was like, I knew my work was cut out for me trying to get these fans back on my side. I knew they loved what I did as this, like, roaring bad guy, but, like, to be on the opposite side of the spectrum, I think it needed to be kind of a culmination of the stars aligning between Ron and the team writing it and, you know, our work in the actual scene. But I didn't know how it was going to come across. I knew there were going to be some naysayers. Obviously this guy did awful things, but I thought if we can make him human again and make him feel again and just know, like, as much as we can, I think that's all we could do. That's all I could do on my end anyway.
So at this point in the story, it's still relatively new, but how would you describe, I'll start with you, Victoria, what about Ben is compelling Sierra in his direction?
The fact that he's broken just like her. Granted, he's a little more broken than she is. He's on the higher end of the spectrum. But the fact that they're two hurting
just
souls.
Just a little.
But the fact that they're two hurting souls finding peace in each other is really beautiful.
And how do you see it, Rob, in terms of his connection to Sierra?
I think it's just kind of what she's saying. And I think the reason why it took off, like, before we even, this whole thing with it, like, kind of taking off with the fans. And I believe it's because of just the dynamic, which means, like, kind of what she said, like, you know, two damaged souls. It's the backstory of each of them crashing in together in this place. And I think the reason why it caught fire is because it's like an energy between them that there doesn't need to be any words spoken. The fire kind of started before any scenes took place where we said anything to each other. People already kind of understood the dynamic between the two. And I think that's like the strongest part of the whole thing. So there doesn't always have to be all this like dialogue and, you know, all this backstory and this and everything, because they understand the backstory. They know what's going on. So that's the only thing I can think of, like, with this whole thing, because we just started. Like, this just started, you know?
Yeah, fans started going crazy when Sierra was still unconscious.
Yeah, she didn't even wait. The girl was asleep. The girl was knocked out sleeping, and, like, all of a sudden, there was this wave, and then it just grew into, like, this. It's crazy, man. Like, I woke up this morning, and I saw it again, and, like, I literally let my Twitter die until I came back to the show, because these fans have been so, like, on top of it. I'm like, let me just give them the courtesy a bit more than what I did in the past, because, you know, I am grateful, and I'm grateful for the story. So it's cool. It's you know, it's dope that we're even talking about this right now, because at least speaking on my behalf, my story had come to a close, so to speak, you know, so to have to come back, like, breathing deeper than ever is pretty, it's nice. It's great.
Absolutely. Now, Rob, in those scenes that aired recently where Ben had to be really nasty to Victoria, to Sierra when he was off his meds, what were those like to film, and what was the dynamic like between the two of you during that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. We're just dialed in, you know. She's always there with me, so it's like, you know, I know we're along for the ride, and I get in my head sometimes when my work, like, maybe I always feel like we can always work a little bit more, but, you know, in the world that we live in with these stories, it's like we only have a certain amount of time, and we're doing these scenes, and maybe one, you know, we shoot for one take. And I'd be lying to you if I told you that they didn't ask Victoria and I to go to tape quite a bit. So sometimes we don't even get a camera rehearsal. We're going in and just fire it. And I love that they trust us to do that. But those scenes in particular, I mean, for me, I can get revved up and I can redline pretty quickly. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's a blessing or a curse. You know, I feel like getting angry is pretty easy emotion for some people, but I didn't know how she was going to react to it. And, you know, to see it, you know, I saw the clips online or whatever of those scenes coming to fruition, but shooting them, I like getting Ben wild up, you know. I like that release, you know. It's like therapeutic, but I knew it was going to scare off a lot of fans, and the dialogue was pretty harsh, excuse my language, but, like,
yeah,
you know, they wrote, you know, I called her a lying bitch whore. I was like, oh, my mother's gonna kill me, she's gonna hate this. Like, I thought Ben was gonna be a nice guy, now he's an animal. But no, of course I like doing it, it's fun. But, you know, it's we gotta show that still lives in him, but I don't want that to be the thing that defines him. Like, I know people are gonna talk about it, I know that, because it's a big obnoxious blow up, but, like, there's more, you know.
How long was he actually off his meds before he really got that?
I know. Unhinged? And you know what's crazy? Well, I don't want to give too much, but, like, we don't talk too much about the meds anymore.
Right?
Do we, Victoria?
We don't mention them at all.
Like, we don't talk about that. But in this moment, you know, we saw this 5 months ago, whatever. That was, like, a big thing, those meds. You know?
Has a day even passed? Should we be worried for Sierra?
Well, you know what? Well, for me, I think we're justified in that time, because I think they were still figuring out what to do. The writers didn't know what they're going to do yet. I think that if, like I said, if they knew what was happening right now, they're going to win everything possible, because that's crazy to think that. But no, I think it was just because it was so fresh, and he's just adjusting to the world. Like, he just got let out of this sanitarium, you know. He just got this clean bill of health and mental health, so I think it's still fresher as the story progresses. You know, Ben will find his grounding a little bit more, but I think he came a little unglued for a minute.
Victoria, what was it like for you to be on the receiving end of that tirade that aired last week?
I did feel some fear, but that was the whole point. Rob had to conjure up real distress from me, and he did a great job doing that. But the most important thing going into something like that is to remember that it is a show and it is not real. And he is not actually calling me a lying bitch whore. So,
oh, so aggressive. Yeah. Very aggressive.
Very aggressive. Just a little bit. But, you know, I think Sierra also, she had an internship at Shady Hills, and she is the type of person who is observant, especially in other people's emotions. So when he says that to her, it does scare her, but she knows where it's coming from, so she doesn't take it personally or seriously, because she knows that he is off his meds. He does have a chemical imbalance in his brain, and it's not him talking, it's it's immense.
And I think that kind of says it all. Because of the way she reacts to that, she understands him. So I think in any state of mind, he knows that, and you know, he settles down after the whole thing settles down, but he sees that she gets him. Of course she's afraid. I mean, why wouldn't she? But she understands where it's coming from. And I think that being acknowledged is like a really powerful tool between the two of them. And it can justify kind of the way Ben's brain works, where not everybody would understand that, but Sierra understands that.
Mm-hmm. And in the end, Sierra ended up talking him down. She ended up getting through to him and bringing back his sanity. And that's something that they really bonded over, because not everyone can just convince a serial killer that he's not crazy, even though he's having a mental breakdown at the moment, you know? So it was a really strong moment, and I'm happy that they wrote that in there.
Now we asked the fans to give us some questions for you two. So here goes. The first are from Tammy. She wants to know, what is your favorite Sin moment so far and your favorite thing about working with each other?
My favorite Sin moment so far is when Sierra kicked Ben in the face.
Yeah, I was just going to say it. Yeah. Yeah, we got asked that like a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it was real. It was a change of pace for the cabin scenes. It was the first time that they got to laugh and be in each other's company without them talking about some dark topic. And it was the first time that they could really see each other for who they are. And I thought that was a defining moment in the Sin timeline for sure.
Yeah, I agree. We got asked this a couple weeks ago, and it was like they had them doing this like very you know, that's a very redeeming like thing. Like it's very humbling to clean somebody's feet, you know? So like just that alone was already like a cool light for Ben, because it was like he's doing something so obscure, and here's this girl having this serial killer clean her feet. And it's like kind of who said it? Maria O'Brien said it was like a very biblical like story to do something like that. But then, you know, to take that and then the light of it, she kicks him in the face. It's just fun. You know, it was fun. It was definitely, that was my favorite too. Like,
yeah, definitely. For sure.
Well, we have a related question actually from Jamie, who asked, in honor of Sierra's reflex kick, are either of you ticklish?
Yes, I'm very ticklish.
I don't laugh, so I'm not ticklish. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't am ticklish, laugh. I guess. I think, yeah, it's about, I don't really get tickled, so I don't really know. Yeah, I guess so. I think I'm ticklish.
Gauntlet thrown, Victoria. I expect you to do some tickling when you resume work.
Oh, my God.
And Jamie's bonus comment is she would like you to know, Rob, how the fandom loves your pronunciation of Sierra's name.
Well, listen, here's the thing. I do change it, not to burst their bubble, but I tried to fight because the way this is written, the pronunciation is Ciara. However, I was beaten over the head by Christian Alfonso and a few other people that it is Sierra, which would be S-I-E-R-R-A. But I try to fight it. I try to fight it.
Technically, the way Sierra's name is spelled, it should be Chiara with a C-H because it's Italian.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
Even closer. Imagine, maybe I should just come back and start calling you Chiara.
Do it.
Imagine. Chiara.
Okay, these questions are from Cassie in Chicago, Illinois. First, she asks, Victoria, which of the Sierra romances have stood out for you, Trip and Sierra or Ben and Sierra?
You know, I'm going to answer that question with Trip and Sierra, because Ben and Sierra aren't even a romance yet. So, or, you know, they're not a romance right now. So far it's Trip and Sierra, because Trip is a really good guy for her and he really cares about her. So,
Okay. And Rob, which of the characters you've played have you found challenging or the most challenging? Was it an intern on B&B, Pete on All My Children, Ben, or Arturo from The Bay?
Oh, we're just keeping it in the soap world, actually.
We're keeping it in the soap
world. Okay. In the soap world. I mean, Ben, of course. I mean, he's the most layered, complex character, you know, regardless of the genre. I mean, if you asked me in anything, period, it still would have been Ben. I mean, that's why I'm back. I wouldn't be doing this show if I wasn't intrigued by the writing and what they're giving for me. I think it's great. It's really great. And I get to, you know, I get to work my craft, you know, I get to do what I love. So I'm grateful to play him. And it's fun. However, he on All My Children was a hell of a good time, because that was my first like lead of a show. And that was awesome. We had a really great culmination of people on that show, and some of them have transitioned into Days, which is cool. My boy Vincent Irizarry and Jordy was on the show for a while, and
Sal.
Oh my God, duh. Of course, Sal. That's my girl, of course. Yeah. And Sal's putting up some great work too. So I'm proud of her.
Mm-hmm. If awesome. I remember correctly, weren't you the first face we saw in the All My Children reboot, driving in the car on the way into Pine Valley?
Hey, good memory. Yeah. What, can we tell Days to get me a Porsche on this show too? That was awesome. Please, can we do that? Please.
All right. Felicia would like to know, what is the funniest moment that you have experienced, the two of you, on set together?
What? Say that, what?
Just the funniest moment on set that you've had together since you've been sharing
funniest
scenes.
Moment on set. Well, like, the whole kick thing was fun, and that was funny. What else? What else? I don't know.
I don't know. I always draw a blank at these questions. Because it's like when people ask me, like, what's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you? I'm like, nothing. I'm so boring.
And Rob doesn't laugh, so how could there have been a funny moment?
Right.
Yeah, laughing is rare.
It's a dark day on Days.
It's just a dark-ass couple of people. What is, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe we shot some stuff recently. Well, I don't even know. We can't talk about that, right? I don't know.
I mean, Rob and I usually are laughing just because we're both goofy people, despite the fact that he doesn't laugh. So we try to make light of the time that we have in between takes. We're talking about the Patriots and how the Yankees suck.
I mean, Victoria, you're not saying that, right?
I know.
I'm like, you're with two diehard Yankee fans on this podcast right now. Sorry, Rob.
And I'm a born and raised New Yorker. I understand that. However, New York is the only state that has two sports teams for each sport, and we still can't win.
They had their time. The Yankees had their run.
They'll still have their run, don't you worry.
Oh, listen to Stephanie. She steps right up.
Season ticket holder.
Oh, really? Good. No, I respect that. I respect that. I respect people, you know, because trust me, if I was still back home, I'd be there too. Obviously not Yankee Stadium, but I'd be in Fenway a lot more often than I am now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be in Fenway a lot more often. But no, you know, to answer that question about, like, you know, those light moments, like, to be honest, every moment outside of, you know, the work that's been action and cut, like, we're always goofing. Like, I'm probably the biggest idiot ever. Like, if they roll a camera in between each of our cuts, I swear too much. I goof off too much. I do all that in between every scene, but I feel like when it kind of, like, just brings more life to the work. So it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to tell you that we got a lot of questions. Fortunately, we've asked them already in our own interview. Everyone wanted to know the same things. But really, we had such an incredible response to the fact that the two of you were going to be talking to us today. And thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to see what's coming up with Sin. Enjoy the rest of your break, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you guys later.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Rob and Victoria for being our guests. Be sure to pick up a new issue of Digest on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.